Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of evolutionary voices for the quantum age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience evolutionary voices for the quantum age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com.
Welcome to Awakening to True Happiness with modern-day mystic David Hoffmeister, offering you the how-to to spiritual awakening by addressing on a practical level answers to your deepest questions. David Hoffmeister is a world-renowned teacher of A Course in Miracles and has been traveling the world for the past quarter of a century, offering his wisdom to audiences wherever invited. On this show, you'll hear recordings of David's best live talks, inviting you into an experience of deep wisdom and true clarity. To learn more about David, visit his website at davidhoffmeister.com. Awakening to True Happiness with David Hoffmeister is part of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Okay, welcome. Welcome, everyone. Yeah, we're in for a beautiful treat now. Very profound experience. Well, we just watched the Lion King this morning, and what a heartwarming experience. Did everyone enjoy it? Seeing it with new eyes. Interesting metaphysics. Being told that you murdered your father, having guilt, being told to run away, and then after much absence from your origins, trying all kinds of things, even sometimes trying the Hakuna Matata to try to convince yourself there's no cares and no worries, but you keep having cares and worries that break through into awareness. So this amnesia, this idea of forgetting the Creator, forgetting the Source, believing that you can make yourself instead of accepting yourself as a creation of a perfect Source, of Spirit Source, this results in sleep, this results in amnesia, this seemingly results in ignorance, in forgetting. And then the Lion King movie is so beautiful. About the past is gone, and remember the truth. And this movie we're going to watch is a beautiful example of pray, listen, and follow. Prayer is the medium of miracles. Prayer is the power and the mechanism that unites us with the Holy Spirit, unites us with Jesus, unites us with the Creator. And the prayer is the prayer of our heart, our desire of our heart. What do we want? What is our desire? And we have to activate that desire in order to aim that desire at remembering God. And this movie is a beautiful, beautiful demonstration of that. The movie is called Mully, and the main character is Charles Mully. So we're going to see basically a, a movie of his life, except it's actually him in the movie, his wife in the movie, his children in the movie. The scenes are going to be taking place in Kenya and start off with the slums of Nairobi, Kenya. And it's very interesting for me the way these movies seem to come. I've been praying for days for just a very deep, profound movie experience that I could share with you. And then the morning of the day that I watched the movie, I received actually a call came in from Nairobi, Africa, kind of a foreshadowing what would come to me. And then later in the day, the movie. And then afterwards, a conversation with the pastor who had tried to call me in the morning, who said his church is right in the slums of Nairobi. So we're going to start off with our opening scene in the movie is the slums of Nairobi, Kenya, Africa. What's so helpful about this movie is that we start to get a deeper experience through Charles's experiences as we see scenes from his life, and we start to get this sense that we have to begin to face feelings that we have pushed away, and those feelings in terms of the human condition are often betrayal and abandonment and rejection. So as we go through the human life cycle, seeming life cycle, those emotions of betrayal and abandonment and rejection come up, and we've associated them with different experiences that we have in the world, different interpretations that we have. But what we're learning more and more is that to believe in this world, to believe in the perception of this world, it requires an underlying belief in separation from God, which the Lion King was showing us, the belief that God has been murdered. If God is pure love and you have an experience that's not pure love, then that's the same as believing God is not God. And that's, it may sound a bit extreme to talk about murdering God, but if we could just define that as believing God is not God, that there's something other than God, that is what the murder is. It's a pushing out of awareness of the divinity of our source and our true being. So that's a beautiful setup for this movie, because Charles is going to have to pray his way, as we all do, through this experience of this world. Also, he will receive his inner messages, and he will follow. And a lot of times when people talk about spiritual awakening, they don't really go into the topic of prayer and how important prayer is, or listening and guidance, and finally the following. You have to follow the guidance that's given. And the main character in this movie, this is all based on actual events that he experienced. All of the experiences are coming from this inner prayer, this inner connection with God. There are sometimes teachers that don't emphasize prayer and don't emphasize actually guidance, and therefore don't actually emphasize following guidance. But those three aspects of pray, listen, and follow are absolutely essential. And to fully wake up from this dream, you have to really grasp the power of prayer and the power of the mind. You have to really believe and have faith in guidance, whether it's an inner voice that you hear or intuitions and feelings, something that nudges you and nudges you and nudges you along the way. You have to really believe and have faith in those nudges and those instructions and that those pointers. And then, most importantly, you have to follow. It wasn't too long ago, on October 4th, when Francis passed away, when people asked me of my experiences of knowing Francis, I say, well, she was very deeply devoted and in faith with the power of prayer. Francis prayed. Francis truly prayed and prayed and prayed. And then when Francis received her instructions, she did not hesitate in following the instructions. Did Francis believe in guidance? Yes, she did. Did Francis believe in prayer? She did. And did Francis follow the guidance that was given to her? She did. And that's where the joy came from. That's where the presence, the laughter came from. That's where the giggles came from. All of that, look at the gifts of that. All of that came from praying and listening and following. And if you knew nothing about anything else, if you just had the faith in that and were willing to give yourself wholeheartedly to that, then you would see how simple everything unfolds just from that prayer and that listening and that following. You don't need anything else. You don't need formulas. You don't need complex structures. You don't need complex disciplines. It's really very, very, very simple. It's like the Bible saying, and a little child shall lead them. It's very, very simple. And that's the greatness of the movie we're going to watch. We're going to see a true story as stories go in this world. It's something that just unfolds and unfolds moment by moment, and we will go on the adventure with Charles Mulley. And I think the value of demonstration is more important than anything else. In other words, if you have high ideals, you can still hold them as apart from yourself, and you can put those ideals in the future. But if you have principles in your heart, and you just decide to live those principles and follow those principles right now, you just make that decision, I'm just going to follow these deep principles in my heart, then you will quickly discover that the obstacles that you believed were there will disappear. The walls that seem to be blocking will crumble and fall. And everything that seemed to be a challenge will quickly melt away in the faith of following what's in your heart in this moment. That the power is right there, right in the here and now. And then everything else just flows from that activation of the power of prayer. Prayer is a way of knowing God. Prayer is a way of waking up. Prayer is the most practical essence that you will ever come in contact with. And when I was watching this movie, my eyes were wide, and I noticed some tears rolling down the cheeks, and I kind of visualized Gandhi and Mother Teresa and Saint Francis above me, and I visualized Mother Teresa was crying. She was like, oh my, Mother Teresa crying at what she's beholding. Because Mother Teresa was always talking about love in action. You can't separate the love from the action that pours from it. And Jesus, of course, was a beautiful demonstration of that. Gandhi was a demonstration of the peacefulness, the nonviolence, the dedication, the devotion. And then there's Saint Francis, you know. Some of you know the story of St. Francis, and some of you have watched the movie Brother, Son, Sister, Moon maybe quite a few times and had tears of joy at that. Recently, Sam was talking about some of the communications he's had with some family members, relatives, and how intense it's been. And some of you remember the intensity that St. Francis went through with his family. Deborah's turning, looking at me. She's had some intense encounters that seem to be with the family members. And St. Francis was known for his deep devotion to God and going for what he was called to do. And then basically he seemed to be disowned by his family. And when he came back with his bare feet and walking in the rain with his begging bowls, he went to visit them, and the doors were all closed shut. There was no welcome there. And for many people who go on the spiritual journey, this can be a big challenge or a sticking point. It's the idea that you're letting somebody down, that you're turning away from somebody, that you're turning towards something that you feel called to go to in your heart, and yet the haunting beliefs of guilt that you've done something wrong, that you've let somebody down, that you turned away, that you didn't fulfill an expectation or an obligation that you should have. Those are pretty common on the spiritual journey. I know Melly's had her son, and that's been a thing too. It's emotions coming up from that. And this is Mully. And this is Mully to start to show us that what we have been perceiving with our five senses is a trick. And this trick involves the projection of the ego, and the ego is the belief in specialness. The ego is the belief in special love. The ego is the belief that love can be fragmented into bodies. It can be compartmentalized into close ones, beloveds, or people that we're indifferent with, or people that we've called enemy. It's the belief that love can be partial. And Jesus is teaching us that love is whole. You cannot know love except by knowing the love of God. In fact, a workbook lesson, he says, there is no love but the love of God. Love is one. And if you don't know it as one, then you don't know it. And so when our eyes have been accustomed to this world, when our five senses have showed us this world, all of our seeming lifetime, we don't have an experience of the falsity of the perception. And because we take for granted that what has been presented to us, the world of time and space, is real, we just don't see that is part of the amnesia, that in linear time there never was love, that the world was made to cover over love, to hide love, that love is universal, love is unconditional, and love cannot be partitioned. One way we could look at it too, metaphysically, is that we could say that God is our parent, but that parent is a single parent. It's a single parent, it's a spirit. And our identity is spirit, and we can only know our parent, our source, our creator as single. And yet the world, the word parent, oftentimes is used in the plural, parents. We're used to parents in the idea of two parents, biological parents, of males and females, of sperms and eggs, of duality and multiplicity. And when we're accustomed to duality and multiplicity and fragmented perception, then what is real and true, the reality of spirit, is completely blocked from awareness. You cannot know this dualistic projection and this multiplicistic projection and know God. So those are the ideas that we've been exposed to with the Course in Miracles. But thanks to our good friend Charles Mulley, he's going to take us on a trip today that's going to be an experiential trip. We're going to go with him to transcend specialness and open up into holiness. Easy to talk about, but when we come to experiences, it seems like they seem to be like a hurdle. Like people have told me, they say, I think it's impossible to love everyone. And that seems to be like a huge goal, to be able to love everyone. And yet that seems to be our only goal, our task that Jesus has given to us, is cheering us on, saying, you may think it's impossible to love everyone, but I assure you that it's possible. And now I'm going to show you the beloved Charles as he takes us on a journey from specialness to holiness, from abandonment, rejection, betrayal, to wholeness, completion, happiness, and joy. Wow, what a journey. And only in 1 hour and 21 minutes. That's a ride. That's a speedy ride from specialness to holiness. So I'll pop in from time to time, but I think you'll see why I had so many tears watching this movie, because I was going, wow. Wow, wow, wow. I like to see the journey, the actual demonstration of the journey from specialness to holiness. That's, when you see a way shower like this, you can't help but have your heart feel lifted up. You can't help but feel transported into like a unified awareness, because what you've just beheld is undeniable, as witness, as evidence. He's going to start off without mighty companions, but just like in The Lion King, in the end, on Pride Rock, there was Simba and Rafiki. There was the whole gang, the new little cub coming there with Rafiki holding him up, and there was Timon and Pumbaa, and the mighty companions are all there. And that's what we're going to see in this movie. We're going to see it go all the way through the mighty companions, and he's going to just keep collecting mighty companions as he goes along. Also, this movie is going to involve orphans. And after this movie, I was just reflecting, thinking, wow, we have 7.8 billion orphans on this planet. Because an orphan is one that is not aware of the parent. And it's not parents, they're orphans, because human beings have a creator in spirit that they're unaware of. And so it's to imagine 7.8 billion orphans walking around. And what do you do with that situation of a planet of the orphans instead of planet of the apes? We're dealing with the planet of the orphans. You know, people talk about, oh, the homeless, the streets of the big cities that have homeless. What? These are all orphans. We got 7.8 billion orphans that are all homeless, all believe there's something that they are not, all come without a self and make one as they go along, and that doesn't go very well. And all who've forgotten home, who've forgotten heaven and spirit, and literally point the finger at people laying on the streets of San Francisco as homeless, not realizing that they themselves are homeless and wandering, lost in time and space, in a fictitious imagining that God didn't create and doesn't even know about. So sit back, enjoy the ride, and enjoy Mulley. I think for all of us, this is, most of us will be seeing this for the first time, but Jesus sent us this one. It's like a sweet Christmas present from Jesus. So here we go. So he's reached his St. Francis moment, where St. Francis had an illuminating experience, and then he basically told his parents, told his friends, told everyone, and they pretty much reacted as the wife and the children, and including the one, the geek, that's just total madness. Just total madness. Absolutely unbelievable that somebody would say that at dinner and then go on and on about, I'm going to help the poor, you know, all the things that St. Francis had talked about, you know, all the things that Jesus had talked about. Sell everything that you have, give to the poor, and follow me. You know, seek the kingdom of heaven first, and all else will be added unto you. It's like a turn in the mind from the belief of trying to do it the world's ways. And you could see he actually went from feeling totally abandoned and life was totally meaningless, and then step by step, things started going good, and he thought, He was very enterprising. It got better, 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 better. But there always comes a point, in his case, where he just felt so sick and so bad. And he didn't really know why. He just was kind of like, why is God, why are you bringing me down? Why are you bringing me back to poverty? Why would you turn me back to poverty? And what we learn from Jesus is that poverty is a state of mind. Poverty has nothing to do with the material world. Poverty, Jesus tells us in the Course, is ego thinking. So you could seem to be rich in the world and be very poor if you have ego thinking and belief. One time, you might remember in the St. Francis movie where he was out and they were just helping some farmers. And one of the farmers said, let's give them some to eat to the Franciscans. And then another one had a huge reaction and said, these are the sons of landowners. And St. Francis answered, we are all poor in the eyes of our Lord, meaning, again, if we're believing in ego, if we're following the wrong voice, that's where the poverty is. So for him, it was the big hit. The first big hit was like, oh my gosh, it's not to be found in the making of money. And so he just matter-of-factly announces that he will never work for money again. He's going to sell everything. He's going to work for the poor, for the orphans, for those that he's seeing. And this is what Jesus meant in the Bible by take the stranger in. He said when he looked into the eyes of the one, the hardened young man there, he said, I saw myself. I saw faces of myself. It just was a moment of starting to realize that there's nothing really apart from me. I'm just seeing myself. I'm seeing myself when this man's expressing hatred. He's got these dark kind of cold eyes, this meaninglessness, he said, just like I'm seeing myself. So at this point, you know, this is the turning point where you have to see that you don't have different separate interests from anyone, and yet that point of divergence, of turn, is going to be the big point in the mind for the awakening, because this is the point where you basically are turning away from everything you believed before. The past is gone, like Rafiki said. It's gone. And now let's just watch him as he just is very matter-of-fact in kind of announcing this. Because when you have that experience, when St. Francis had that experience, and here when Charles had that experience, it's not going to always be perceived as a popular choice by the world. Remember, the ego made the world. So this is a choice to turn away from the thinking of the world and open to a new thought system, to new guidance. And then the remnants of the unconscious darkness are going to be around. It's a lot of mixed messages. You get some miracle messages, and then you get some really dark messages, like you're crazy, it's nuts, you've lost your way. And that's the turn of beginning to turn away from the ego belief system, from the poverty of ego thinking, to a new way of thinking and believing. It's just starting. It's just starting. It's not ending. It's just starting. But this is the example of the dismantling of perception. When you feel put out by somebody who left the light on, when you feel put out when somebody didn't flush the toilet, when there's a toothbrush there with toothpaste, and you go, that's just rude. You know, it's the dismantling of perception. When you give yourself over to the spirit, you can know for sure that the perception will start to be dismantled. Your mind will be unwound. Even at the end of Lion King, I noticed for the first time, I've seen the movie many times, I noticed the very end, it was called The Path of Unwinding. I was like, never saw that. At the very end, The Path of Unwinding, in the circle of life, in the swirling circle of energy, of love inside from the Holy Spirit, unwind the mind. Unwind. It's the first time I saw The Path of Unwinding at the end of Lion King in the circle of life. So it's the perception that seems to be ordered. There seems to be a sense before the kids start coming in of order in the house. You know, there have been people in monasteries, I remember nuns that would say things like, cleanliness is close to godliness. And yet, when you say yes to the calling, that is giving your mind permission to be dismantled. Perception is a judgment. It's an ordering of the world based on values that the ego has set up in the mind. So what people think of as their everyday normal perception of, this is how I like my life, this is how I prefer my life to be, the preferences are part of the ego system. And the preferences have got to go because there aren't any in the kingdom of heaven. Heaven is just pure love and oneness. So the preferences are the judgments. The judgments aren't just the negative end of the spectrum. The preferences are the whole spectrum. So you can see, particularly at the first dinner table when he announced he would never work for money again, he would be giving to the poor, he would be helping poor children and everything, you could see the faces on his wife and the children. They were like shocked and disgusted. And now you can see as he moves forward with his pray, listen, and follow, you can see on the faces of the children, like they're breaking things, they're stones. They're breaking windows, things. And this is just the dismantling of perception that will inevitably come when you say yes to God. It has to fall apart first before the new perception can be shown, can be given. This is what we talk about getting flushed out of ego comfort zones. You can see the children. Our house, they were in our house. We started sharing rooms, and then there was some more, and then... And they were playing, and they were throwing things, and then there were hundreds, and then you can see the gates are open. He is got a big heart. I mean, Mother Teresa used to pick up a few kids here and there every day. He's opening the floodgates, and what is going down is the self-concept, because you know what Jesus says? All things work together for good. There are no exceptions except in the ego's judgment. The ego doesn't like the dismantling because the ego made this world. The ego sponsors this world. Perception, Jesus says, is a mirror, not a fact. Perception is not a fact. And if it's not a fact, you know it's going to get washed away because God is the fact. Love is the fact. That's reality. So everything that seems to be washing away, dismantling, unwinding is part of it. That's the ego is going to kick, it's going to scream, it's going to holler. Jesus says in the Manual for Teachers, in the stages of the development of trust, one of the stages starts with, it will seem as if things are being taken away from you. There it is. You can see it right there. And the kids are flooding in, and it seems to his biological family, to his children, like their life as they've known it. Looking forward to those holidays, looking forward to those parties, looking forward to all those things. They became accustomed to what they called, we have a good life, we are influential, one of the kids said. And now you can see that as he answers his call, there's a dismantling of perception. I don't think that he's seeing it the way his children are. I think he's probably having so much fun bringing bread in his Mercedes, bringing home kids, 100 kids. He's probably like, wee, ooh, ah, wee, another one, and another, and another, and another. You know, talk about taking the stranger in. We saw how he started off when he was knocking on doors and he had no family, and he was walking around as one of the orphans, feeling life is meaningless, I have nothing to do. Now the switch has been flipped in his mind. He's got a strong case of Mother Teresa-itis, and it's getting worse. It's a stronger case every day. The more people, the more he brings in, the more glee and joy he has. And you can see with the biological family, oh, yeah, they're disturbed. They're disturbed, all right. They're like, he's crazy, he's lost it. What's happening to us? What happens when the money runs out? And so on and so forth. You know, it's all the fears and doubts. But that's just the ego coming up. It's getting flushed out of its hiding place, and it's being brought to the surface very rapidly. So it's not even begun. This is not going to come to an abrupt halt. It's just, in the alphabet, we're just in the ABCs here. He has, as the carpenters say, we've only just begun. But that's the beauty of it, because that's what expands your faith. When the ego is flushed out of its unconscious comfort zones, it's not happy. But it's never happy. It's a death wish. Do you expect a death wish to be happy? The ego will judge the process of spiritual awakening very negatively. And it could be in your own mind where you're doubting, what have I done? Will I ever be able to go back and have a normal life? Can I even go back? Is there anything to go back to? You know those thoughts like, oh my God, my plan Bs are starting to feel farther away. Where are they? My plan B, C, are you back there? Are you still back there? You know, because you start to feel like that Shirley MacLaine movie, Out on a Limb, like the more you follow the spirit, you feel like you're more out on a limb of trust, of faith. And you can see he seems to be quite enjoying it. He's not slowing down. And of course, the ego backlash will hit when the children, his biological children, will start to get much more verbally aggressive with this. Some of you remember the movie Evan Almighty, when he starts to follow God and build an ark. And then when he's shown on the floor of Congress, they're saying, who told you to do these things? And his wife's going, don't say it on television, don't. And his children are like, don't, Dad, please, no. Who instructed you to do this? Who's telling you to do this? And he says, it was God. And then his secretary, or the woman, the black one, she's like, okay, better get the resume ready for the next job. You know, she's like, that's it, you've crossed over. And we know how it is with the God word. when we share the God word in certain situations, people are like raising eyebrows. Oh, right. Oh, you're one of those holy rollers. Oh, good. That's what you're doing with your life. Good luck with that. But you can see he's just getting revved up here. Jackson, are you enjoying this? There we go. You're ready to unwind. Here you go. You got a role model. Okay. Yes, that's it. All right. Here we go. He's just getting started. He's just getting started. He's only just begun. Now he's getting teenagers. He's going back for double dipping. He scoops them up as orphans, works with them, and then when they go off to sniff glue or do something, he goes back out in his truck, and he starts scooping up again, bringing them again and again. You can see the circumstances, too, moving when they didn't have space, moving out to a very dry land, very, very arid and dry. And that's the thing about the spiritual journey. You know, as long as you're interpreting the world through the ego filter of the five senses, there will be many temptations along the way, and doubt thoughts will come up. What's this? Things are getting worse. Why am I being put through this? Why am I being put through that? But remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. You know, the prayer of the heart has to be to transcend the interpretations of the ego, the five senses of the world. You know, what happens when I feel pain, when I feel suffering? What happens when I feel discomfort? Jesus is telling us in the Course, he says, the body doesn't feel. The mind tells the body what to feel. That's why it's a course in mind training. So the mind training has to persist, even through the interpretations of the ego. Something's gone wrong. Where is it going to go? And so they're moving out to this place where they have more room. They definitely have more space. It's just dry, arid space, very, very dry. And that's just a good example about how when you follow the guidance is to wash away all judgments of the world, all comparisons. The guidance is to pull you out of this false sense of ego comfort zone. I think back in the parable of David, you know, even though I was extremely shy, you know, the best thing for me would be to have to go out and travel. If you're shy, the worst thing you can think of is going and traveling and speaking. If you're shy and you don't like to travel, it's like we learned from the Revolver movie, where you don't want to go, that's where you'll find him. That's where you'll find the ego, where you don't want to go, where you personally don't want to go, where you personally feel like you have a hold on, this is what I want from my life, these are the preferences I want, this is the way I want it to look, these are the people I want to have in my life. And when you start to say, these are the people I want, and I don't want to be around those other people or those kind of people, then, interestingly enough, the circumstances come. So it's like having a dog put its nose in the poop. You do get to face the judgments in the mind. Because it's all the mind. You know, wherever you go, your mind goes with you. There's just the mind. The mind is so powerful. And everything, Jesus says, everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked. So prayers are always answered. Whatever we're perceiving, in terms of likes and dislikes, that's the answer to prayer. Whatever we're perceiving into the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful, those are the answer to prayer. We're just perceiving our thoughts. And at some point, you just have to say, wow, my faith is expanding and I'm starting to realize that I want to release these thoughts, the good, the bad, the right, the wrong, the beautiful, the ugly, the good preferences, the bad preferences, you start to realize that only a clean mind, only a mind emptied of all these ego thoughts will know peace. And that's why it just takes faith. That's why you can see with Molly, his whole journey is just expanding faith, expanding faith. Even when the kids go off to go back to the streets to sniff glue or prostitution or whatever they're doing, you know, his wife is saying, we're very sad when they left. And yet you see him, he gets in his pickup truck and drives by with all these, now they're like teenagers, they're young adults, and you see his smiling face like, I got him. I got a bunch of, you know, take the stranger in, take the stranger in, take the stranger in. Don't push it away. Don't push it away. Don't try to judge it, label it, and then dismiss it. Because projection, what Jesus tells us is projection is the attempt to get rid of something that you don't want. Projection, that's how this world arose. It was an attempt to get rid of something that you don't want by seeing it as if it's outside of you. A convenient trick. But as they say, by the grace of God, there go I. You're always looking at your thoughts. You dislike something? Aha. Jesus says, pluck that dislike from your mind. You prefer some outcome or some form to be a certain way. Jesus is like, okay, pluck that. Let me pluck that from your mind. Let me pluck the things you think are good, as well as let me do some weeding of the things that you judge against, all of them. And that's what this movie is really showing, you know, because you see scene after scene, you can see Molly's smiling face. He's just going along. Okay, what's next? What have we got next? What have we got next? And what's so beautiful is that expands the faith. So now the next thing that they're facing is him and his wife, all these kids, they've moved to this place that's kind of more isolated, but it's also very, very, very dry. And they're facing all the things. I mean, our community went through the pandemic. We had to just navigate the pandemic day by day, moment by moment, prayer by prayer. You know, there was a time when they came to me at the temple and they said, well, the governor of Jalisco has issued an edict, a declaration. I said, what was it? And they said, well, if you're 60 years or older, you are confined to the house. You cannot go out. I was like, oh, okay, this body's over 60. I had so much fun being confined, because you can confine a body, but you can't confine a mind. You know, if you look at Gandhi was in prison, I think it was about two-thirds of the years of his life, Gandhi was in prison, and he always said, ah, the happiest times of my life. He was in there doing his journals, writing, exchanging vegetarian recipes with the guards and the prisoners. You know, it shows you that everything is a state of mind, that you can confine a body, but you can't define, you can't confine a mind that wishes to be free. And what we're learning is the purpose. It's the purpose of forgiveness that brings us the joy. There's great joy in seeing the false as false. There's great joy. That's where all the laughter comes from. That's where all the smiling faces come from. Not from being circumstance dependent, like, oh, how will I judge these circumstances? Are they good? Are they bad? Are they favorable? Are they unfavorable? That's just the ego. Tick, 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 tick. Just judging anything. And judging everything based on its filter. Okay, we keep going here. He's just rolling along now. Just rolling along from scene to scene. Yeah, that's kind of where our ministry is now with AI. Before we were digging for water. And then things can open up kind of rapidly. You know, after they struck the water, then they got into having a well. then a water purification system, and then farming, building more, planting trees. It just seems to go exponentially. But it often comes very quickly. You could see where some of them were saying, I'm not digging. This is like digging. We hit a rock. His own son said, we hit a rock. You know, this is the spot you said. Yeah, keep digging. But then it can flip. And that's the experience in the mind, that when you keep the faith and you keep the faith and you keep the faith, then things can start to seem to open up in your heart and your mind exponentially. You know, even in the past year, we had a 12-day retreat at the monastery, mystical experience. Jiska had a mystical experience. Yvonne had one, was that a couple of days ago? You know, the exponential things that come, it comes just from keeping the faith and letting go of all doubt thoughts. And you could see that's what was happening with the digging for the water. They felt it. They went out. They prayed. They heard the voice, where to turn. They went to the spot. And even though everything in form would say, this is ridiculous, you know, they said they even attempted to dig wells like 100 feet down in the same area and they found nothing. And here they were digging by hand and still relatively on the surface. And then that's where they found it. They found the water there through guidance. That again shows it's pray, listen, and follow. It's not based on analysis. It's not based on past learning. It's not based on anything of the past. Jesus says, let present trust direct the way. And that's what this movie is really showing. It's just one thing after the next. Let present trust direct the way. Present trust direct the way. It wasn't too long ago. I remember we had this, our monastery land, and I remember I was there and we decided to dig for water, hire somebody to dig for water in the campground. And so he finally came out and he got his truck, and I forget exactly what, but it was like hundreds of dollars for every foot that he would go down. And so they drilled and drilled down and down. They drilled and drilled and drilled. And they drilled in the morning, and I kept saying, how's it going? No, we're not striking water. So finally, they kept drilling on. They would ask me, well, you want to go another 50 feet? You want to drill? And I said, yeah. I walked up to the kitchen up there at the monastery, and I walked in. Everybody had their bowls and their plates of food. And I said, now, you know, I always say, don't pray for form and don't pray for outcomes. But right now, everybody, pray for water. And within like 4 minutes, we hit the water. And it's all a testimony to the power of the mind. That's all it is. It's always just bringing the mind back to the power of the mind and to the power of thoughts. Because the realizations in the end have to be, okay, I have invented the world I see, and the power of decision is my own. I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience, and I decide upon the goal I would achieve. And everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked. Well, you can see that is the end of victimization. That is the end of mistreatment. That is the end of poor me. Poor me. That is the end of why do bad things happen to good people? That is the end. That wipes everything out. If I regain and remember the power of the mind and I choose to forgive, then Jesus is saying that's exactly how you see the world differently. If you have people that seem to be naysayers in your life, if you can just say, oh, wow, great, thank you, Jesus. You're helping me discover a few more doubt thoughts that I was holding onto and hiding from you. You know, that's the way to look at it. is just give over the doubt thoughts that come to mind. Don't make something of them. Don't build a case for stopping your search for God or your stopping your attempt to remember God based on a few doubt thoughts that come up. Recently, somebody told me that they said, my husband is telling me that my unconscious doubt thoughts are attacking him. I thought, well, now I've heard it all. And then she said, and at that moment I got so angry, I felt like killing him when he said that that my unconscious doubt thoughts were attacking him. I felt like killing him at that moment. You know? But it's always bringing up the flushing into awareness, the belief in attack. You know, God didn't create attack. Lesson number 23 in the workbook, I can escape the world I see by giving up attack thoughts. That's the culmination of, after the first 22 lessons, some of the most profound lessons in the whole workbook, he basically leads his way up to, oh, and by the way, here, number 23, I can escape from the world I see by giving up attack thoughts. He's just given the key to eternity. He's just dropped in lesson number 23. And he reinforces it by saying, you know, lesson number 5, I'm never upset for the reason I think. He reinforces it by saying, anger is never justified. And then one paragraph later in the text, he says, pardon is always justified. How's that for two lead-off sentences for paragraphs? Anger is never justified, and then pardon is always justified. Because forgiveness is a gift to yourself. It's really your mind, giving your mind a Christmas present when you give up the grievance, when you give up the judgment, when you give up the doubt thought. You're just saying, Merry Christmas, mind. I'm giving you a gift here. I'm actually letting go of this grievance and going to accept joy in place of it. That's the gift, that not a material gift that we're asked to give, but we're asked to give ourselves the mental gift, to give everyone and everything the same mental gift of the release of judgment.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Awakening to True Happiness with modern-day mystic David Hofmeister. You can access more of David's teachings by visiting his website at davidhofmeister.com. Tune in to David again next week on Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 radio network.